If you enjoyed the good singing, say amen. Amen. I like that line that says, the same grace that saved me is the same grace that keeps me. And I'm glad once I get saved, I don't have to work myself to stay saved. I'm not holding on to Jesus. He's holding on to me. And I'm thankful for that this morning. If you've brought your Bible with you, take it and turn it to the book of Revelation, the last book in your Bible, and go to chapter number 19. Revelation chapter 19. Certainly one of the most read books in our day today. And here we are in chapter number 19 of Revelation, and we'll find that the rapture of the church has already happened. We'll find that the seven-year tribulation is just about to come to an end, and we'll find that Jesus Christ is about to come back to planet Earth to rule and to reign here in chapter 19. But go to verse number 7, and that's where we'll read today. Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 7, it says this. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." Verse 10 says, "And I fell at His feet to worship Him. He said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." And that's where we'll stop this morning. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You that it still has the power to change lives today. God, I thank You for the comfort, for the help, for the guidance that we find in Your Word, Lord. And we thank You this morning, as the song said, for Your grace that saves us, the same grace that keeps us. And God, we thank You that Your grace is sufficient for no matter where we are in life today. God, we just thank You so much for all that You've done for us. Thank You for all the blessings You've poured out. Lord, I pray that as we get into Your Word, and I pray that as we study it for the next few minutes, God, I pray that You would open up our ears, open up our hearts. God, that we may receive what You don't want us to hear. God, I pray that You'll cleanse us of self and fill us with Your Spirit and able to do Your work. Lord, we thank You for the ability that You give us. Lord, we thank You most of all for the grace that You give us. Lord, for everything that's said the rest of this service, we'll be careful to give You all the glory for it. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, every Sunday morning since me and Monica has got engaged, and especially since we got our new house and I've been staying there, I would text. The first thing that I would do every Sunday morning was I would wake up and I would text her and I would say, "It's about 18 weeks until our wedding." And I would say, "I can't wait to wake up on Sunday mornings together and come to church together. That's something I've always dreamed about." For the past few weeks, especially getting into January and getting into February, I would text her and I'd say, "We've just got about 8 more weeks, 8 more Sundays. I've got to preach about 8 more sermons and we'll be married." Well, this Sunday I woke up and I realized something. This is the last Sunday. And I texted her and I sent her a message and it basically said this: "It's almost wedding day." It's almost wedding day. And that's what I want to preach on this morning. It's almost wedding day. Now, you've read your Bible and you know that God places marriage on a high priority in His Word. Marriage is something that's highly esteemed in the Bible. And it's so important in God's mind that it was the first of 3 divine institutions that God started on planet Earth. God started 3 things on planet Earth. It was marriage, family, and the government. And God placed marriage so high in His mind that before He started the church, guess what He started? The marriage covenant. Before He started the government, guess what He started? The family. And a few weeks ago on Wednesday night, we looked at God's design for marriage. And America can change the laws all they want to. God's design for marriage hadn't changed since the day He started it. It's still one man and it's still one woman. You can call it whatever you want to. But me and God will not call what America calls a marriage. Because a marriage is between one woman and one man. And before God started the marriage, or before God even started the Sabbath day on day number 7 of creation, He started marriage. Before God started the nation of Israel, He started marriage. Before God started any of that, He started marriage and the family. In Genesis chapter number 1 and chapter number 2. And on Saturday, that girl that you see sitting right there on the front pew, she becomes my responsibility. Which means this. Behind Christ, she's the most important person in my life. She comes above absolutely everybody else in my life, right under Christ. And some of you know this morning that you've been married maybe 5 years, maybe 25 years, maybe 50. You know that marriage is a hard thing. And you'd be lying if you said any differently. But you know what also the Bible says? Marriage is a good thing. That he who finds a wife has found a good thing. And the good thing about that is I didn't even have to find mine. He brought her right to me. But you see, marriage is a good thing in the Bible. Marriage is a good thing that God established. Because it is to be a picture of Christ's love for the church. And you've read your Bible and you know that marriage is to be a picture of Christ and the church. Now in Scripture you'll find that Christ is always seen as the groom. And the church is always seen as the bride. And right here in these verses that we read, beginning in verse number 7, it says, "The marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife," or His bride, "has made herself ready." By the way, His bride here is the church. Those people that have said yes to Him. Those people that have trusted in Him throughout all of the age since He died on the cross. Those people that have trusted in Him are accounted as His bride, and He is accounted as the groom. And of course, the famous passage in Ephesians 5 that you hear at a lot of weddings about the husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church and the wives submitting to their husbands as the church submits to Christ. So you'll see all throughout Scripture that Christ is a picture of the groom and the church as a body is a picture of the bride of Christ. Now, back in Bible days and even back in ancient times, a wedding ceremony was the biggest thing that happened all year, besides the non-religious ceremonies, besides Passover, besides all these things that happened in the Bible. When people would come together and have a wedding, that was the biggest ceremony that took place all year. And you'll find it in John chapter 2 when Jesus showed up there at the wedding ceremony at Cana. It was a big ceremony. So today, just for the next few minutes, I ain't going to keep you too long. I want to show you three components that they used to go through in the Jewish wedding. And how they kind of relate to us, because it's fun to see how they relate to us today. So, the first thing that I want you to see, the first component of the Jewish wedding traditions was the betrothal period. You've heard about that. But there's also, under this betrothal period, there are two aspects to that. There's two things that come under that. And the first thing is the pledge. The pledge during this betrothal. Now, this was usually done by two parents. Most of the time, it was done before the children were even born. The parents would come together and say, "I want my family to be with your family. So when you have a boy and when I have a girl, we're going to bring them together and they're going to get married and they don't have a say in it." That's usually what happened. Now, me and Jerry the other day sitting at the hospital, we were watching Andy Griffith, wasn't we? Everybody's probably seen the episode when the darlings show up. And I can't think of the daughter right now. I can't remember what her name was. Darlene. But she had just had her baby. And the reason they came to town was why? Because they wanted that new baby to marry Opie one day. And Andy wasn't having none of it. But that's the reason that they came. And they did that because that's exactly what used to happen. They would say, "I want my family to be with your family, so I'm going to put Opie with this new baby. When they come of age, we're going to put them together." And if you don't watch the Andy Griffith Show, then boo on you. Because you need to. It's about the only good thing on TV anymore. But what they would do was usually they would come of age after the parents did this, and usually they would be about 12 or 13 years old when they would do this. They would start this betrothal contract, and they would come together when they came of age, and they would become betrothed. And the pledge they would make to each other once they got a spouse or once they got betrothed, they would come together and they would make this pledge. And the pledge was basically they would sign this covenant, they would sign this contract and say, we're basically together, we're basically engaged, and we make the pledge to each other to stay pure during this time until we come together and get married officially. Now, if you go to Matthew 1, you don't have to because everybody knows what happened. Mary and Joseph were betrothed, weren't they? And that's why Joseph was so amazed when Mary comes walking up and she's 6 months pregnant. Because he ain't seen her in about 6 months, and she had made a pledge to him to not go with anybody else. And he's thinking, well, she broke her pledge to me. Until that angel shows up and tells him a little bit differently, as you know. So there was a pledge that took place. Now this is very similar to what happens today when two people get engaged. When the man gets down on his wife and gets down on his knee and say, will you be my wife? And he hands her the engagement ring. And then they usually wait about 12 months and they do the wedding planning process. And we've went through that, and thank the Lord it's almost over. But it's similar basically to people getting engaged. Now, I'm not somebody that gets nervous about anything. I could stand up here. The first time I stood up here to preach, about right out a year ago, I wasn't nervous or anything. Now, there's always something that gets going in me. It gets me just a little bit nervous before I get up here. Even playing baseball and basketball, I'd never get nervous before the games or anything. I'm just not somebody who gets nervous. But the day me and Monica were getting engaged, I wanted to puke the whole day. I felt terrible. Now, it was May the 23rd. I had been here 2 weeks. And that Wednesday, I was planning on doing it. And it was my first message on Wednesday nights. We were starting our Bible study in 1 Thessalonians. And I had it all planned out. We were going to go to Boger City after our service, and I was going to ask her. I thought she didn't know it. I thought that I was hiding it good from her. I think I was. But we walked into church that night, and we were down in the fellowship hall. We were sitting there, and it was about 5 minutes until I got up and started taking prayer requests. And she looks at me, she says, Justin, when are we going to get engaged? And I looked at her, and I said, she knows exactly what's going on. And I looked at her, and I said, honey, there ain't nothing to be talking about in God's house. Hush. And she looked at me, she said, well, excuse me. And I got up there, and still nervous as can be, and I get up there and preach some sloppy message from 1 Thessalonians that she and I, we got in the car to go there, and as soon as we got in the car, she looked at me and she said, what was that? I said, what are you talking about? She said, what were you even talking about up there? I said, if you only knew how nervous I was, you'd know, because I was just blabbering on the whole night. But I got there and she had no idea what was going on. I got down on my knee and I think she said yes. I don't even know if she said anything. She was so shocked at it. But I got down on my knee and I asked her to be my wife one day. And that was my pledge to her. And that engagement ring on her left hand, that's me saying she's mine until the day that we come together and we get married officially on Saturday. So we made that pledge to each other. And did you know that Christ has done the same thing for us? There came a day to where Jesus came to this earth and He died on the cross for our sins. And one day when I was 12 years old, He came by my way and He convicted me of my sin. And you know what I did? I said yes to Him. I said yes to being His child. I said yes to Him being my Savior. And the Bible actually says that you and I, when we got saved, we became betrothed to Him. Now, that's hard to read, so I'll read it to you. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says, for I have espoused or betrothed you to one husband, and that's Christ, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. He says, when you got saved, you got betrothed to Christ. And did you know when Christ saved us, He also made a pledge to us. He also gave us something to show us that we are His. And what was it? It's the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel, in whom you also, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. And then it says, who have given us the earnest or the seal or the pledge of the Spirit. So if you want to know whether you're Christ or not, just look down and see if you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Because if you have the Holy Spirit, that's Christ saying, you are mine until the day we officially come together in heaven. That's what the Holy Spirit is. It's Christ's pledge to us that we are His until the wedding day rolls around. So the first part of the betrothal was the pledge. And I'm moving a little bit quick. But the second part of the betrothal period was the preparation period that took place. Now, the bride would prepare and the groom would also prepare. Now, the groom would start preparing, and what he would do was once they got betrothed, once they made that pledge to each other, the groom would go back to somewhere near his father's property and start building a home for him and his wife to live in one day. He would start preparing this home so that when they do get married, they could go and live in that house together. So he would be preparing that. And I'm glad that don't take place anymore, because I can't build nothing if I wanted to. We'd be living in a dollhouse. So the groom would go and start preparing a home for him and his wife to live in. But the bride, she would have to prepare too. Because you see, back in this day, they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have email. They didn't have any way to get in touch with people across town. So she always had to be ready, because one thing was never certain: when her groom was going to come and get her and take her back to their house. Because as soon as he was done building, he was going to come get her. And he was going to take her back home so they could live together in unity in marriage right then. And that's what would happen. They would prepare, because she never knew when he was coming. So he had to build the home, and she had to get ready for him to come. Now, after we got saved, do you know what Christ started doing? He started preparing a place for me and you, didn't he? What's the Bible say? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to what? Prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. See, when we got saved, that's exactly what Christ started doing. He started preparing a home for us to live in forever. But you see, it's our duty to prepare for Him to come get us. Because if you go to Matthew 25, there were those people there that weren't prepared for the bridegroom to come. And at midnight it said, behold, here comes the bridegroom, and some of them wasn't ready, and they didn't get to go. So it's our job to be ready when Christ does come back. But I want you to see today that the betrothal period, you have the pledge, which is when we got saved. You got the preparation, which is taking place right now, getting ready for us and for Christ to come back to receive us unto Himself. But secondly, I want you to see the presentation. Now, this is the wedding day, what would take place in the Jewish weddings. They would become betrothed, and after about a year, when all the preparation was done, when the house was done building, when the home was done, the groom would come to the place the bride lived, and he would come and get her and take her home so that they might live together forever. And it was then that they would say their vows to each other before some of their family members, and they would become officially married. Did you get that? The groom would come to where the bride lived and take her home to the place that he's been preparing this whole time. Can I tell you what's happening right now in heaven? Christ is preparing a place for you and me. And there's coming a day real soon, I believe, it won't be too much longer, to when the preparing's going to be done. When the prepping of our home is going to be done, is going to be over, and Christ is going to come where you and I live right now, and He's going to say, it's time for you to come back home with me. He's going to take us to His home and receive us unto Himself. So where does it say that? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. He says, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will not prevent them which are asleep. But the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There's coming a day to where Jesus is going to come back to where you and I live, and He's going to say, the preparation is done. The Father's going to look at His Son and say, it's time to go get Him, Son. He's going to take us home to where He lives. And that day will be presented to Christ as perfectly righteous, covered in His righteousness. And you know, since the day that me and Monica started dating, we've been talking about getting married. I remember I have two brothers that are older than me. I think they're almost 30 years old. And they're both married. I can remember as they started to get married, I'd sit down and talk to them. I'd say, now how do you know that you're marrying the right person? I like to mess with them a little bit. So how did you know that you're marrying the right person? And I remember them looking at me saying, I just know. And I remember looking at them saying, that's a dumb answer. You don't have any better answer than that. And I said, there's no way you can just know. About 4 weeks into me and Monica dating, I looked at my brothers and I said, I know exactly what you're talking about. Because it was about 4 weeks into it that I realized that we were going to get married one day. And that's exactly what's going to take place on Saturday. And we've been prepping for this day for so long. And, you know, I believe in all my heart, Brother Johnny, that Christ is longing to see you and me. That Christ is longing to be with us, to where this world no longer separates us, to where this world no longer has a divide between us and Him, but to where He can finally come to us, where we can finally see Him face to face, and we can finally be with Him for all of eternity. You know what? You and I should be longing for that too. I know some of you are right now. But I'm excited for Saturday. Because she looks pretty every Sunday. But on Saturday, she's going to be all dressed up with her hair and her makeup done for 8 hours. And she's going to put on that white dress that she hadn't let me see. And she's going to walk down the aisle, and I'll probably cry. I don't know if I will or not. But I'm excited for that, and I've been waiting for that day. Even before I met her, I always desired to be a dad. I always wanted to be a husband. I always wanted to be somebody who would raise my family. And I've been waiting for this day for a long time, and I'm excited about it. And I said the same thing. I believe Christ is excited to see you and me one day. And I tell you what, I'm excited to see Him one day. And the Bible says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Can I tell you, when He comes, the wedding day is here. It's time for us to come together, and this world will no longer separate us anymore. Can I say, if the wedding day were to happen before our wedding day happened, and Christ came back, would you be ready? You say, I don't know. How can I get ready? You say yes to Christ. Because as soon as you say yes to Him, He gives you His pledge, and you'll get to get married to Him one day, and you'll be with Him for all of eternity. And we ought to be ready, even to us as Christians, we ought to be living our lives to please Him so that when He comes, we need not be ashamed when He shows up. But the two things there in the wedding traditions that used to take place in ancient times and Bible times, of course, we have the betrothal period, where they would basically get engaged to each other. But then we would have the presentation to where the groom comes and gets the wife and brings her home that they might live together. And Christ is going to do that one day. But I also want you to see the last thing that would happen here in these wedding traditions back in Bible times. And then thirdly, it was the celebration time. It was the celebration time. Now this celebration time usually lasted about 7 days. Right after they would get married, right after they would have their wedding day, they would have a celebration to where literally everybody in the town would come together and they would celebrate, they would have food, they would have all this stuff. And it would usually last about 7 days. And I'm thankful for Monica's parents' sake that ours isn't going to last 7 days. But you see, in John chapter number 2, you remember when Jesus showed up at that wedding celebration at Cana? And it says they ran out of wine. And He had to turn the water into wine. The reason they ran out was because it lasted for 7 days and they never knew how much to get. So He had to turn the water into wine there. because it was a 7-day deal. But here in the text that we read in Revelation 19, this is where you'll find the celebration happen. This is where you find the celebration. We've already been betrothed to Christ. We've been presented to Christ. We're already in heaven with Christ. But here in Revelation 19, we see the celebration is taking place. It says, the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. In verse 8, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Now the marriage of the Lamb here, this celebration is going to take place in heaven. Now remember this. The marriage of the Lamb is going to take place for 7 years in heaven. And I'll get to why that is in a second. It's going to take place for 7 years because after we get raptured up and we're all in heaven as a church together, you know that on earth is going to be taking place what the Bible calls great tribulation, where all hell breaks loose on planet earth. But when we get to heaven, the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ all by ourselves. There's going to be nobody else around. I'm going to stand at the judgment for myself, and you that are saved are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ for yourself. And you're going to receive the rewards for what you have done in His name. And you see, that's what verse 8 is talking about. The fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Those are those rewards that Christ is going to give us for serving Him. And by the way, we're going to give them right back to Him. We're not going to be walking around saying, look at how many rewards we got. We're going to say, the only reason we got them is because you. And we'll give them right back. But the marriage here, the marriage of the Lamb, is that celebration that we're going to have in heaven, standing before the Lamb of God that gave His life for our sins and celebrating our salvation because of Him. That's the marriage of the Lamb. You say, well, why is that only going to last 7 years? Because something's going to happen after we've been in heaven for 7 years. Something's going to happen after we've been in heaven and all this great tribulation is taking place on planet earth. Verse 9 says, the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to come then. Now, I want you to see the marriage supper of the Lamb is something that's going to take place forever. That's something that's never going to end. Because what happens next after 7 years, after we've been in heaven for this time, is something that's real good. Something real good is going to happen. And verse 11 tells us what's going to happen. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. By the way, this is Jesus here coming back to planet earth. But look who's coming with him. Verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Look what they were clothed in. Fine linen, white and clean. Verse 8 says his bride was clothed in fine linen, white and clean. So guess who's coming back with Christ to planet earth? His church. His bride. And the Bible says he's coming back on a white horse. Well, guess who else gets a white horse? I told Landon, I ain't riding your horse. The first time I want to ride a white horse is in heaven when I'm coming back with Christ. I still may take you up on that. I doubt it, but we'll see. I'm not brave enough for that. But you see, what's going to happen here is we're in heaven, we're celebrating the marriage of the Lamb, but then we're going to come back to planet earth right here on this same earth, and we're going to rule with Christ for 1,000 years. In the city of Jerusalem. And He's going to change everything. And everybody will be demanded to worship Him. And we all will. Right here. And then after those 1,000 years, He's going to wipe out this earth. He's going to make a new heaven. He's going to make a new earth. And the marriage supper of the Lamb, that celebration, is going to last for all of eternity. And you'll find that in chapter 21. When Christ does that for us. I want you to see something, and I'm done. Musicians, you can come on forth. I want you to see something here. That once you and I got betrothed to Christ, we got saved, we said yes to Him, we started our union with Him, a union that would never be broken. We got betrothed, then one day when Christ comes back, we'll be presented to Him, and we'll be with Him forever. And then we'll have the celebration for all of eternity. And we'll get to spend all of eternity with Him. So I want you to see that. from the time they got betrothed until the celebration, the union has never been broken between you and Christ and me and Christ. And can I tell you, a burden that I have is that with everything taking place in the day in which you and I live, divorce is at the highest rate that it's ever been. And you already know that. I don't have to tell you. And as me and Monica begin to get married on Saturday, you know that we're going to need prayer. Because if it's just me and her, we're two sinners. We won't make it on our own. It's got to be a three-person thing. Me, her, and Christ. But it's also got to be family and church family. Us coming together, praying for one another, helping one another when we need help. And that marriage union is never broken. And you know, with God's help, when we get married on Saturday, that marriage union will never be broken. But what we need is some family to pray for us. And you're our family because we see you more than we see our other family. And what we need is for people to pray for us. And we'll pray for you. But you know, I know you always pray for me because I'm your pastor. But you know what's a harder task than being a pastor, Miss Nan? Being the pastor's wife. Because not only does she have to deal with everybody else, she's got to deal with me every night. So make sure when you're praying, don't just pray for me. Pray for her. Because she needs it a whole lot more than I do. She's seen it her whole life. Being a pastor and being a pastor's wife can be a hard task. But you know God's called us to it. He's going to give us the ability to do it. You know what I'm thankful for? He gave us a church that will pray for us, that will love on us, that will support us, that will take care of us when we certainly need it. And today I just want to thank you for all that you've already done for us. And if you don't mind, go ahead and begin playing. If you don't mind, me and Monica are going to end our last Sunday as being single. I wanted to pray with her right here on the altar. So that's what we're going to do today. And if you want to get around and pray with us, that's fine too. But I wanted to be sure and end our last Sunday here in prayer. And I want y'all to pray for us. And I want y'all to pray with us every chance that we get. And I just want you to say, I want to tell you that I love each and every one of you. And I don't want you to ever forget it. But I love that girl more than I love anything else in this entire world. Let's pray.